Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
We're welcoming to our program to discuss with us some very interesting developments. We've been hearing a lot about it. TNT, the Global Innovation Index ranking. What is global innovation? Where are we when it comes to global innovation? And to give us a greater insight into these matters, let's welcome to our program country economist at the Inter-American Development Bank. I hope that I'm pronouncing this correctly. That's Victor Gauto. Did I get that correct? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Bahubir. Yes, you got it absolutely right. My name is Victor Gauto, and it's very nice to meet you, and good morning to our listeners today also.
Nice to have you with us. Also joining us in this program, CEO Caribbean Social Innovation Consultancy, that's Pramila Ramdhani. Good morning to you as well.
Hi, good morning, Sadesh. Good morning.
Nice to have
to your audience as well.
Nice to have both of you with us here this morning. We're into a very interesting discussion, and it deals with a topic that has an impact on each and every one of us, even though some of us might not necessarily understand the topic or what it means or the impact. As we usually do, let's begin by giving the opportunity to familiarize my listeners with you. So let's start with you, Mr. Gauto. Tell us a bit about yourself, some of what you're involved in.
Sure. Thanks very much. My name is Victor Gauto. I'm working as a country economist in Trinidad and Tobago. And as a country economist, one of our main jobs is to monitor macroeconomic developments across the economy and the region. But we also support the dialogue with the government in terms of trying to shape the projects that the government is interested in developing. Mm-hmm. I've been working in Trinidad and Tobago for over a year now, and so it's been an excellent experience to be working here.
Great. Let's hear from Pramila Ramdhani. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of what you're involved in.
Hi. So Satish, yes, I am involved in the innovation ecosystem, not just in Trinidad and Tobago, the innovation ecosystem, the entrepreneurship ecosystem, not just in Trinidad and Tobago, but also from my work also in Canada, where I was instrumental in working with a number of women incubators as well as youth incubators and really building that innovation ecosystem. In Trinidad and Tobago, I also took on a brief portfolio with InvestTT, where I led the foreign direct investments as vice president. So building on those two portfolios, I think in reviewing what we have here, there's a lot more work to be done. But I think that would be your next follow-up question.
Well, actually, my follow-up question is, we're using a lot of terminology. I'd like for us to explain fully what some of these things mean. Global innovation sounds really nice. What is it? What does it mean?
So if I may take a stab at this, basically this Global Innovation Index, it ranks countries around the world to see who's doing the most to improve productivity within their economies. And when we're talking about productivity, we're talking about how to do more with less, right? I think the interest in developing this index started several decades ago when thought leaders in think tanks and noticed that the level of productivity growth around the world started to slow down. And so growth in economies as a result also slowed down because of this weakness in productivity growth. So basically what this measure does is how are countries doing in introducing policies or activities that support doing more with less, or that support strengthening productivity and for the most part, driving economic growth through those productivity improvements. So this index It ranks countries around the world. It ranks 132 countries for the 2022 measure, and it gives us an idea of how countries are doing relative to each other in terms of introducing technology, digitalizing their economies, and supporting growth through improved levels of productivity.
So basically, to explain it, it means basically the way you do business and your technological innovation, your managerial innovation, and how you are putting measures in place to move forward with some of these processes using technology. That'd be correct, right?
Yeah, I would add to that it focuses on technology to see how you can move forward and improve business processes throughout the economy, right? So the focus of this index is technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, just another question to you, and then I will bring Pramila into the discussion. What is our ranking at this time?
So thanks again. So the ranking for Trinidad and Tobago at this time, out of the 132 economies, is 101, right? So it's on the lower end of the distribution. And just to give a little bit more detail in terms of what this means, right? The ranking basically is made up of measures, many, many different indicators, right? If you look at the definition of the ranking, it looks at 80 different indicators to come up with the ranking, and it summarizes all these 80 indicators into one final measure, which is the ranking we have for Trinidad and Tobago, right? There are two main areas of the ranking, and they describe it as the input measures and the output measures. The input measures are I think I would describe it as you talked about it earlier. You call it the business environment, right? So these input measures describe the business environment to come up with the ranking. And for example, some of these indicators in the input measures, there are five of them. And for example, it ranks or it scores how institutions are doing in the country, or what is the level of human capital and research. That's another one of the five pillars on the input side. It also has a measure for infrastructure and market sophistication, as well as business sophistication. So these are all measures that would characterize what the business environment is in the economy. And there's a rank for each one of those five. And that makes up part of the final ranking for the Global Innovation Index, right? Mm-hmm. And there's also a second part of this index, which is basically what they call as the output measures or the output index, which is what are the outcomes of all these inputs in terms of innovation, right? And the names of those pillars are the knowledge and technology output, which basically captures how much knowledge creation there is in the economy, what the levels of labor productivity are in the economy, and how that information gets diffused also. There's an indicator for knowledge diffusion. So those are one of the two main pillars on the output side of the ranking. And there's a final one, which I'll describe here briefly. It's called the creative outputs, right? And basically that measures what is the level of creations of goods and services? Are there cultural and creative services exports? What are the levels of technology service exports out of total trade? What is the level of online creativity? So the point here is that it's very broad. It captures a lot of information. It does capture certain elements of the business environment through those five pillars that I mentioned earlier, but it also captures elements of what are the results and what is developed in that business environment through the two pillars on the output side, which are knowledge and technology outputs as well as creative outputs.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a description of a more detail of our indicator here.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Just who leads the ranking? Who are the top three spots in the index?
So the top three spots of the index is
Switzerland. Switzerland is on top, Satish.
Mm-hmm. Switzerland is leading when it comes to global innovation. That's pretty interesting. Pramila, there are several things that I think we need to explain to people. What are some of the things that we are doing? Let's start there. What are some of the things we are doing in the right direction when it comes to enhancing global innovation here at home?
Thanks, Satish. I think my colleague there did touch on some of the outputs as well as the inputs. And if we look at outputs in terms of where are the gaps, where are the challenges, and what are we doing well? So in outputs, we look at institutions. What's our political environment like? What's our regulatory environment like? And what's our business environment like? That's under institutions, one category. So if for instance, in political environment, we rank as number 57. On institutions on the whole, we rank as 66. A regulatory environment, we rank as 85, number 85. So we need to do much more in terms of our regulatory environment and certainly around our business environment as well. We score quite low on there. Human capital and research, education, tertiary education, R&D also needs to be improved. Our infrastructure for ICT, we're making some headway in terms of digital innovation and digital transformation, digital innovation, and I would say digital incremental innovation, because there's a difference between incremental innovation, small steps, and then you have disruptive innovation, transformational innovation, and exponential innovation. If we want to get into the global innovation race, we need to be at almost at a transformational stage in innovation. We're still at the incremental phase. There are countries like Switzerland, which is really, they are the exponential stage as well. They're disrupting innovation in different ways in all of these categories. So I think in Trinidad and Tobago, if we take a deep look, and I encourage everyone to take a look at the Global Innovation Index and the ranking and the different categories, the inputs and the outputs, and you would see the key gaps that we have and then how we measure up and how we rank with some of the larger countries. And I just want to point out one thing. Jamaica is at number 76. We're at 101. And if you look at in terms of innovation performance by income group, that particular category, you would see that Trinidad and Tobago is in the high income group. But in terms of innovation performance by income group, the top countries, they have above expectation in terms of their level of development. We haven't even been ranked in performance in line with level of development. We're just listed in that group at the bottom, but we're in the high income group. So there's great potential for us to be at least to measure up with in terms of innovation performance in line with level of development, or even to aspire to performance above expectation. Yep. Now, Jamaica, who was ranked number 76, they're in the upper middle income. They're not even in high income group. They're in the upper middle income group, but they have ranked very high in terms of innovation performance above expectation for level of development.
Well, would I be correct to describe that as some sort of anomaly where we're in the high income group, but our innovation levels are low? What would contribute to something like that?
Certainly, we are good in terms of our economy. We're great in terms of our economy, but innovation is still that missing gap. And an innovation ecosystem is really, really a big challenge in Trinidad and Tobago at this time. And coming from that background, and I'm sure my colleague would also mention this, there are several key aspects for developing an innovation ecosystem. And it's not just the government that's responsible. Government is responsible for policies and also the funding piece and all of that. But we need to have all groups together. We need to have a higher education. We need to also have the private sector involved as well. And we need to create that innovation mindset and entrepreneurial mindset across the board, and that is the missing gap in our public sector, in our private sector as well. If we look at institutions, for instance, right, and we look at the business environment, what are the policies for doing business? Can we safely say that we are equivalent to, say, our next door neighbor, Jamaica, in terms of ease of doing business. If we are not, and or if we don't have the policies, the entrepreneurial policies and culture in place, then it's going to become very difficult for us to attract businesses into the country, foreign investments into the country, because savvy investors, unicorn investors, are really looking at those countries that are pushing innovation to the highest level. And hence, you see the top five or the top 10. Canada is top within that top 10. Because they're also pushing, for instance, EV, right? The manufacturing of EV for different types of cars. We are not there as yet. So I think a business environment will need to be, we need to take a look at that and pivot, as well as our infrastructure and certainly our business sophistication in terms of innovation linkages, industry university linkages, and knowledge absorption. So unless we have planning, Ministry of Planning is doing some great work, and the IADB is doing some great work, Career is doing some great work, but we still don't have an innovation and entrepreneurial ecosystem that touches stakeholders from Cedras to Tobago. Yeah. That's still missing.
Yeah, I would understand the benefits, but let's delve a bit deeper into it for our listeners to understand as well. Will bring with it significant benefits. What are some of those benefits that can be derived from improving our ranking on this global innovation index rating?
So if I may, I'll go back to an earlier question. You know, you asked who the top three were, and I have it in front of me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like our colleague was saying, Switzerland is first, but and the top five are United States, Sweden, United Kingdom and Netherlands, right? And Republic of Korea comes in at number six, right? And in terms of the benefits that you're asking about, what would be derived? I mean, it's good to improve to improve in the rankings. I think the more practical element would be to improve on some of the indicators in the ranking so that implementations and activities and developments within the country would drive that ranking. But what this would mean was, for the most part, is that it would give the economy the opportunity to be in some higher value added sectors, which means that jobs and businesses would be working in sectors where more income is generated, right? That's basically a final result of improving productivity. It contributes to generating higher levels of income for businesses and for people also, right? And so that to the extent that you're improving levels of technology and productivity, that is one of the main parts of the objectives of driving improvement in digital transformation and technology.
It seems to me, and I might be wrong, feel free to correct me, that one of our challenges when it comes to achieving our full potential or maximizing our potential in this regards, when it comes to global innovation, is that some of us don't understand the importance of it. And many of us may not necessarily have been exposed to some of these things that you're speaking about to inform us of the importance of it. Do you believe that our citizenry, and I'm using that term broadly, citizenry, to encapsulate all government, private, citizenry, all, do we really understand the benefits of global innovation? And do you think we need more education in that regards, a culture change?
Satish, if I may add my thoughts on that, definitely we need to begin with creating an innovation mindset as well as an entrepreneurial mindset or an intrapreneurial mindset. Entrepreneurship means entrepreneurial qualities of people working within organizations who are not necessarily entrepreneurs. And we need to have that. I mean, working in the public sector myself briefly, shows that there's a big need for that. I introduce what is a business model at my organization? What is a value proposition? I help them dissect that because that's critical to understanding what is our value and how we promote our brand to foreign investors. And so I think if you look at the indicators, as my colleague mentioned, one of the key areas is around business sophistication. I wanted, and I'm harping on this because it's critical. It's around, you know, how do we create a knowledge base in our country with our employees? What are the innovation linkages? And if you look at the ranking for our in business sophistication, it is quite low compared to, I'm sorry, it is the score value, I should say, it's quite low compared to the others, because we are missing out on a lot of things. And I want to draw back again as well on what is the definition for innovation. And it's and while this study is focused along technology innovation, and that's product innovation and process innovation, there are about seven other types of innovation, right? For instance, social innovation, architectural innovation, marketing innovation, service innovation, and the rest. And how do we measure those is also really important. But if in two areas, two innovation areas, which is technology, product, and process, we have scored so low, we have a lot more work to do. And I think when we think of innovation and entrepreneurship, we shouldn't just be thinking about our private sector. We should be thinking about our primary school students. How do we inculcate an entrepreneurial mindset and channel their business minds to real business instead of other types of businesses? Similarly, in our public sector, I think every single public sector employee we should be working in collaboration with one of our higher educational institution to ensure that there is an entry level course in innovation, creating an innovation mindset, an entrepreneurial mindset. So that would improve also customer service, and it will also improve a number of things within organizations in the public sector. So a lot more work, and the the recommendation the recommendation for me is that we need to place more emphasis on this and to have a ministry for it. Governments are not usually the innovators in countries, but they're very important within the ecosystem in terms of providing the funding, the policies, and the business environment. But we do need to have a ministry of innovation. We do need to have someone who is focused on that area, so that they can be able to work with the other ministries, work with the private sector, work with the tertiary institutions to create that innovation ecosystem and that environment to stimulate innovation and entrepreneurship at every level.
With every generation comes a different perspective on certain things. And we are seeing today where some of the highest earners are engaged in professions that are non-traditional or would have been considered non-conventional in times gone by. You have persons who have used social media to their advantage and have become, I don't want to use the term superstars, but definitely super earners as a result of what they're engaged in. Here at home, because we operate in a globalized environment, you can sit in the comfort of your home, you can buy things anywhere in the world, you can be involved in anything anywhere in the world. It gives a greater opportunity for persons to take advantage of this whole world that we live in. But at what stage in our lives should we be exposed to this? I've seen stories where you have children very young, under the age of 10, writing computer programs that are sold and make considerable amounts of money, simply because that's where they've been encouraged to grow. Here at home, we still force our students to get into the traditional. You have to be a lawyer, you have to be a doctor, or one of these things. You need to find yourself to become an engineer or whatever else. Does the entire education system, as you were alluding to, need to have this overall shift? But who's responsible for that?
If I may, you're addressing various questions there in terms of education on technology. And you also asked about culture change, and you mentioned also how important this area is for the government, right? And And I'd like to contribute that from the IDB perspective, this is something that's very important to the extent that in response to the government's objectives, right, the IDB's country strategy for the period between 2021 and 2025 is to support a digital transformation. And it's the single area of support that the IDB is planning to work on over the next few years. And some key components and some strategic objectives within that are to improve the business environment and also to expand the use of digital tools for improving educational outcomes and digital skills. So I don't have an answer because I'm not an education specialist in terms of what is the correct age to introduce that. But we're seeing, as a result of the pandemic in Trinidad and Tobago and around the world, the importance of connectivity and the importance of developing digitally, and a lot of what is driving the adoption of technology in Trinidad and around the world is that exposure to competition. Right, you mentioned earlier, you know, they're very high income earners that are working on social media or leveraging tech connectivity and technology for their livelihoods, right? That's something that affects not only the very high income earners, but also small and medium-sized firms in Trinidad and Tobago and around the world. Competition is a key driver for adopting technology. So along with culture and what can you do to support those changes in culture? For example, one area that you can develop, right, to address those challenges to adopting technology is providing more and more information, right? So the more information we have, the more that helps in adopting certain technologies. But recognizing innovation is also a very important way of promoting and incentivizing the adoption of technology. And I just like to point out that we have a program at the bank that is called the President's Awards for Innovation and Service Excellence in the Public Service, right? Which we call the PRAISE Awards, recognizing innovation in public policy and improvements in service delivery, which are other small tools that contribute to reducing the hurdles to adopting technology and driving more technological adoption in the government and in the private sector. We're keen on supporting both the public sector and the government on introducing further technology to spearhead economic development and supporting diversifying the economy also.
All right, we need to take a couple of messages to take us up to the news. When we get back after the news, we continue our conversations right here this morning, dealing with the issue of global innovation. We'll be taking some of your calls for those of you wanting to join the discussion as well, right here on the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Continuing our discussion on TNT Global Innovation, our index rating, our special guests, Victor Gautu and Pramila Ramthani. After this interview, we have another one coming up for you, and that starts around 28:30. We'll be discussing personal loans, freedom or a trap. That gets going after this one. But let's continue. We've been discussing a lot of the issues surrounding global innovation, the index ranking, the benefits, the pros, the cons, and all of those things. Time is going to get away from us before we know what's going on. What are some of the... We may have touched on some already this morning. And Pramila, you've been saying that we need a ministry, a more concerted effort to deal with this thing. What are some of the challenges that the average business, the average individual, the state is facing in trying to implement some of these things that we've already spoken about to get us in the right direction?
Hi, Sadish. So in terms of this, the state is doing some great work in terms of providing incentives for businesses through our special economic zones, also tackling the ease of doing business. But we still... innovation in terms of ranking, in terms of innovation performance, is still below that level. So, say for instance, in a real world, we create a ministry of innovation. That ministry would be able to, or a department within the Ministry of Planning around innovation. That's the division or agency will be able to mobilize all of the actors and all of the players to have that foundation for innovation in all of the key indicators or the buckets that have been identified under this index, which includes the key institutions, also bringing together a human talent or capital, research and development, the infrastructure that's required. And so they would be liaising with these departments to mobilize actors and to create the environment, both the entrepreneurial environment and the business environment, so that we can perhaps excel in these areas. In addition, if we look at as well at some of our outputs in terms of knowledge creation, we score very low on that. And so there's an opportunity there for knowledge creation, knowledge impact, our labor productivity levels, our new business growth. Those are things that we need just to spend more time with, and also to provide more incentives. We also need to bring in also, you mentioned your next topic is on finance and banking. Certainly we need to have different types of financial instruments to support an innovation and entrepreneurship movement or environment. Currently we have our traditional financial instrument, but we need to have more angel investing. We need to have more venture capital creation, but we also need to have the policies to support those. We're making some headway, but we're not there yet. So there are a number of key things that need to be done, and it cannot be done as in the current infrastructure that we have at this time. Mm. And I do want to add that government is not the innovator, not only in Trinidad, but not in around the world. They're not the innovators that drive innovation, but they're responsible for setting the policies and providing the incentives to bring that in place so that some of the key stakeholders can take that and run with it. Yeah. Kariri is doing a great job, but we need more Kariris in different communities. Someone from Cedros would not come to Port of Spain to do agro-processing, for instance. So we need an agro-processing, a Kariri in a micro lab in Cedros or in Tobago as well. Mm. So accessibility is really critical, policies is critical, and certainly the environment for stimulating the innovation mindset is really important.
So success would hinge on the state, even though they're not the driver, with the state creating the enabling environment to get some of these things done.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. I would add, if I may, that we have a couple of publications on this topic, right? For example, two new publications are, for example, Digitalizing Public Services Opportunities for Latin America and the Caribbean. We also have one, a government digital transformation guide, which basically outlines what are the fundamentals that are needed to drive digital transformation. And that's what our colleague was mentioning. She mentioned a legal and regulatory framework. Well, along with that, another key component is having a governance and institutional framework, as well as digital talent, infrastructure, technological tools, and new digital processes and digital services. And now with that, a major policy development, I believe, in Trinidad and Tobago that will support and drive a lot of innovation in the economy is basically the creation of a ministry of digital transformation. Our colleague is talking about a ministry of innovation, but a lot of that may or will be subsumed within the ministry of digital transformation, which would drive the adoption of technologies in the medium term, and is also working on developing a digital transformation strategy also, right? So these are all key policy components that are key ingredients to supporting and developing the adoption of technology within the economy. In addition to starting these institutions, right? There's work that is expected to continue in terms of building out the different activities that will be developed from these ministries, right? But having a strategy and having a dedicated ministry for that are key components for driving that change.
Yeah. We're coming close to the end of our interview here this morning.
So,
Yes, go ahead.
Satish, sorry, if I can jump in there, I'm going to stick with my Ministry of Innovation. I know my colleague wants a Ministry of Digital Transformation or Digitization. I think that could be a bucket under the Ministry of Innovation. It is a critical ingredient, but innovation is much more than only digitization. It's a critical component of innovation, but it includes other things.
Well, we actually do have a Ministry of Digital Transformation that was set up. We have a minister and everything else. And I've actually asked the producers to get in touch with that ministry, because I think we need an update from them as to what's going on, what have they been able to achieve since they've been set up, and what are some of their goals and objectives, because it ties in. It all ties into us being able to compete on this global stage. We are far behind the rest of the world when it comes to technology and using technology to our advantage. I mean, connectivity issues here at home leave much to be desired. And we're talking about a globalized environment and the use of technology to further the way we do business and everything else. There are some real challenges, and you see people complaining about them on social media all the time. But as we're coming close to the end of our interview, I'll give both of you the opportunity for your closing comment. But there's a question to Pramila Ramdhani. If I were to say to you that I'm putting you in charge, giving you the responsibility and all the resources that you possibly need to get the job done, what is one thing that you would focus on?
One thing I'd focus on, Satish, is entrepreneurship. Without an entrepreneurial mindset, we cannot create new products or services. We have a talented population, and you can see the kinds of great ideas that are coming out on our social media platforms. On your talk show as well, I listen to it as well. Great ideas. But what are we doing with those ideas, and how can we take it to the next level? And I think it is important that we mine those ideas, and we also link and match those ideas with the recurrent resources that are available, whether it's a NETCO, whether it is a Kariri, whether it's the University of the West Indies or UGT. But it's important that we take those ideas, those half-baked ideas, and take it to the next level. And I think one of the first things that I would do would be to create an entrepreneurial mindset from our kindergarten right up to our public service.
Yeah, I definitely understand the benefits of that. Children, and when I say children, I use the term loosely, younger ones, they have such a different perspective on the world that if you sit and you listen to them, and how they perceive things, it really shows the difference when you have one generation as opposed to the other. And sometimes I believe that the environment that we bring children up in is not as enabling and as futuristic as it needs to be for some children to reach their full potential. Many times when you have children expressing some of their ideas, they're shut down simply because the people that they're expressing them to don't understand the value or the importance or relevance of what it is these children and these younger ones amongst us are trying to achieve. Mr. Gauta, as a country economist for the Inter-American Development Bank, and looking at our discussion here, I'll ask you two questions to wrap up. First and foremost, if you had to promote one thing to get us closer to where we need to be, what would it be? And then to follow that, for persons listening into us who want more information, you've spoken about some of your publications and everything else, for persons wanting more information, wanting to educate themselves, to become more involved, how do they do that?
Thanks again for these questions. I think one key component to supporting digital transformation and improving productivity throughout the economy is basically the objective of the Ministry of Digital Transformation is to introduce more technology to public services, right? Digitalize a lot of those public services and reduce the processing times for some administrative procedures. I think that could go a long way to supporting the private sector in their own business needs and their own business activities, right? So I think it's an objective and I think it's very important to strengthening and improving the business environment for both the government and the private sector, right? And I'd like to add the entrepreneurship, right? And on this indicator that we were talking about today, the Global Innovation Index, one area that is a huge strength for Trinidad and Tobago is a measure for new businesses per per per, per per thousand, right? Trinidad and Tobago ranks 32 on that, which suggests that in terms of this idea of promoting ideas and developing ideas and implementing them is something that is going well in Trinidad and Tobago. And another indicator that is related is the receipts related to intellectual property as a share of total trade. So on that indicator, Trinidad and Tobago ranks 51, right? So these are supporting ideas. And as you were mentioning, in children also, not putting down ideas is fundamental to developing that mindset and culture of expressing ideas and becoming proactive and supporting creativity, right? And in terms of getting more information, I think the easiest way to reach us is or to look at what we're producing in terms of knowledge is on our website. You can go to our website, which would be www.idb.org, and there you will see the whole network of where we're located, where our country offices are, and what our publications are. And you can also find information there for reaching out to the country office in Trinidad and Tobago by email or by telephone, and we will be more than happy to provide more information, give more explanation, and continue this dialogue on innovation that's so important for Trinidad and Tobago and a lot of economies around the world.
I think that's great advice. That's great information for people to take advantage of. And this is where we drop the curtains on our interview this morning. It was very interesting and definitely insightful, because this is the direction that the world has gone in, and we are playing catch up very much here, and we need to get our act together, else we'll have an entire generation that is already on the back foot and might have a much harder time trying to catch up. I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and giving us your insight and the information on this very, very interesting topic. Thanks once again for being our special guest this morning.
Thank you, Sadiq.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.